You are listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I'll be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from TAN. Before we get to today's readings, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you are blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the Most Holy Lamb of God, and through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 99, and in this episode, we'll continue reading from Volume 2, from the section From the Close of the First Pasch to the Conversion of the Samaritan Woman at the Well. Today we are reading number 7, Jesus preaching on the mountain near Berotha. Before daybreak of the night between the Sabbath and Sunday, Jesus left Adama. He had taken leave of the people after the exercises of the Sabbath, though without saying that, he was not to return. And now he went with his disciples and several of the Jews to the mountain appointed for the instruction. He left Adama by the gate through which he had entered, and that was over a bridge. Had they gone by another, they would have had to ferry over the river that ran from Azor to Kadesh, and which, near Adama, flowed into the Jordan. They left Kadesh to the right and proceeded westward over gently rising mountain terraces. This region had high mountain ridges that formed great plateaus. There were fewer ravines and isolated peaks than in the southern Palestine. This bee was to the left of the little troop on very high ground. Tobias once lived in Thisbe and had there given in marriage his wife's brother or brother-in-law. He had also been in Amichores, the water city. He might have taken up his abode there permanently were it not that he preferred to go into captivity in order to be useful to his people. Elias, too, had been in Thisbe, and Jesus had once before journeyed through it. The multitude was already gathered upon the mountain. On the preceding evening, people had gone thither after the Sabbath and put the place in order. On the summit was an enclosed space in which stood a teacher's chair. The people living on the sides of the mountain had been busied, preparing for the tents, and already the stakes and cords were at hand. They had carried them up and stretched the awnings over the teacher's chair and other available spots around. The place was one of historic interest, for Joshua had here celebrated a feast of thanksgiving after a successful siege of the Canaanites. Water had been transported hither in leathern bottles, and bread and fish in baskets. These baskets were like our beehives. They could be placed one above another, and in several compartments, various things could be put without danger of mixing. As Jesus was going up through the crowd to the summit of the mountain, shouts greeted him on every side, "Thou art the true prophet, the helper," etc. And as he passed along, they bowed low before him. It may have been 9 o'clock when he reached the summit, for it was 6 to 7 hours from Adama to this place. Many possessed had been led up the mountain. They were raging and shouting. When Jesus saw them, he commanded them silence, and by his command and the glance of his eye, they became calm and were freed from the evil one. When Jesus had reached the tribune and the crowd had been brought to order and silenced by the disciples, he first invoked his heavenly Father, from whom come all good things, the people likewise praying. Then he began his instruction. He made allusion to what had there occurred, spoke of the children of Israel, of Joshua's once appearing in these parts and freeing them from the Canaanites and from paganism, and of the destruction of Azor. Of all these events, Jesus explained the spiritual meaning. Thus came truth and light to them anew, with grace and mildness to free them from the power of sin. He exhorted them not to resist as did the Canaanites, that God's punishment might not come upon them as it had done upon Azor. He also related a parable, of which he again made use on later occasion. It is in the book of the Gospels. I think something about wheat and husbandry. He taught also of penance and the coming of the kingdom, speaking significantly of himself and the Heavenly Father, as he had done in the neighboring town. The sons of Johanna, Chuza, and Veronica came here to Jesus. They had been sent by Lazarus to warn him against the two spies whom the Pharisees had dispatched from Jerusalem to Adama. The disciples brought them to Jesus during a pause in the instruction. He told them not to be at all disquieted on his account, that he would fulfill his mission, and he thanked them for their devotedness, etc. The spies sent by the Pharisees were also on the mountain with the disaffected Jews from Adama. Jesus did not address them, but he said aloud in the course of his instruction that enemies would lie in wait for him and persecute him. Still, they would not succeed in hindering him from accomplishing what the Father in heaven had entrusted to him. He would soon appear and among them again to announce the kingdom of God and the truth. Many mothers were present with their children, demanding Jesus' blessing. But the disciples were disquieted and thought, on account of the presence of the spies, that he should not give it. Jesus, however, reproved them for their anxiety, saying that he regarded the intention of the mothers as good, that the children would thereby derive benefit. And so he went down through the rows that they formed and gave them his benediction. The instruction lasted from 10 in the morning till near evening, when the people were ranged in order to take some food. On one side of the mountain there were grated fires, whereupon the fish were roasted. The order observed was beautiful. Not only the inhabitants of each separate city encamped together, but even the residents of the same streets were divided into families with their neighbors. To the guests of each street, one man was appointed to bring and divide the food. Each person, or one person in each group, had a leather cover, which, being spread out, served for plates. They had with them also such things as are used at table, bone knives and spoons with jointed handles. Some had brought gourds, others cup of bark, in which they received water from the leathern bottles, while others there and then quickly formed for themselves such cups, if they had not done so on the way. The superintendents received the food from the disciples and divided each portion among the four or five sitting together. Laying the fish and bread on the leathern cover before them, Jesus had blessed the food before it was divided, and by virtue of that blessing it was multiplied. Otherwise, it would have been far from sufficient for the 2,000 for whom it was intended. Each group received a small portion only, but all were satisfied after eating, and much remained over to be collected into baskets and carried off by the poor. There were some Roman soldiers going around among instructions from him, for he had soldiers under his command. Perhaps they had been charged to bring him information of Jesus, for they went to the disciples and begged some of the blessed bread to take with them to Lentulus. On receiving it, they stowed it away in the knapsacks that hung around their shoulders. It was already dark and torches lighted when the meal was over. Jesus blessed the multitude and left the mountain with the disciples, from whom, however, he soon separated. They took a shorter route back to Bethsaida and Capernaum, while he, with Saturnin and that disciple, his relative, went southward to the city, lying off from Berotha, called Zedad, and spent the night at an inn outside the city. This concludes our reading today, and now we reflect over what we have just listened to, what we have just read. Today's reading is rather short and succinct. There's really not much for me to explain or for me to draw upon. I'll just make mention of a few noteworthy items. The one thing of note, of course, is the connection of the place where Jesus is to that of Joshua from the Old Testament, where they celebrated a feast of thanksgiving after his successful siege of the Canaanites. So they celebrate a feast of thanksgiving. When we hear feast of thanksgiving as Catholics, I think we should immediately think of the Holy Eucharist, because Eucharist means thanksgiving. So if they're gathering for a feast of thanksgiving, well, we immediately begin to think of that great gift that Jesus gave us. As Jesus was going up through the crowd to the summit of the mountain, he was greeted with shouts, "You are the prophet, the helper." People have an awareness, a little bit, of who Jesus is. Maybe not so much so as Savior and Redeemer, but they know that there is something different, that he has been set apart by the Almighty for a mission and purpose. He's a prophet, he's a helper, they say. Jesus explains a little bit of the whole experience of Joshua. It says he explained the spiritual meaning. Again, I always think of the road to Emmaus, where it says that Jesus interpreted the scriptures beginning from the old, and really realizing then that as Jesus gives a description here, well, this is what he did on the road to Emmaus. He brought greater meaning to scripture passages that were so familiar to the people. Also, he taught in parables, as we know. The instruction lasted quite a while, and each group received a small portion of the food. We hear at the very end that they begged that some of the blessed bread be taken to Lentulus. Personally, I don't know who Lentulus is. Maybe we'll learn in the forthcoming pages. But again, what does this remind you of? Doesn't it remind you of the Eucharist and taking the Eucharist to someone who is not there? We hope that on this occasion, taking this blessed bread isn't for ill motive, but that it's for a holy reason. This brings us to a close of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. Please share this podcast with others. Share it with your family, text it to your friends, send a message out to your prayer group, let them know you're listening, and encourage them to join you so that you can have holy conversations with them about these writings of Anne Catherine Emmerich. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you, and Mary pray for you.